I'm Lee Blue, and this is Double Stack, where WordPress freelancers discover the tech stack and the business development stack to become high-value, sought-after WordPress consultants. So if you're tired of burning yourself out with those high-stress, low-budget projects, and you're ready to start working with clients you love at the rates you're really worth, then you're in the right place. All of this is 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. Pricing. Let's talk about pricing today. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go over three different approaches to pricing, and then we'll talk about, you know, what's the difference between all three of these things and what's best for you. We're going to talk about hourly rates or hourly billing, hourly pricing, you know, pricing your work based on how much time, you know, time for money, that kind of a thing. Then we'll talk about fixed pricing, like fixed project-based prices. And then we'll move into value-based pricing after that. And so what I want to do first is kind of define what each of those three things are, especially the difference between like fixed and value-based pricing, because I think there's some confusion there. And then we'll talk about, you know, the pros and cons of each one, and then what is best for you. And then on top of that, it's like, depending on which approach you want to take, then what's going to be the, like, how do you attract clients for that? Like, for example, what's the difference between attracting clients if you're going to sell like hourly work versus trying to attract clients if you're doing value-based pricing, for example? Like, what's the difference between all of that with regard to your marketing and the way that you structure meetings and the mindset shift that really needs to take place both on your part and your client's part, depending on how you decide to actually charge for your work? Like, what's the deal? So that's kind of the big picture of what we're going to go for today. So let me start out with the idea of hourly pricing. So the problem, there's a big problem. You want to move away from hourly based pricing. If you're considering yourself a high value consultant, you're kind of moving away from the freelancing sort of situation. You're trying to get out of like trying to, you know, bid for projects on Upwork, or you're trying to get away from the kind of thing where people are just kind of, you know, hiring your hands to type things, you know, and you really want to start bringing leadership and strategy and differentiating yourself from other people that can type things too. You know, you want to shift away from hourly pricing. And not only do you want to shift away from hourly pricing because of those reasons, but you also want to shift away from it because it's not good for you and it's not good for the client either. So for example, probably maybe even the biggest reason you want to shift away from hourly pricing is clients don't really want that. What clients ultimately want is they want to know what it costs. Like if somebody's going to hire you to build their website, or even if you're going to be doing some kind of marketing for them, they ultimately want to know what does it cost. And hourly pricing is not going to get that for them. So it's difficult to win clients if you're purely on a time and materials basis. Because they're ultimately going to say, well, how much is the website going to cost? And you're going to say, well, I think I can do it in X number of hours. But if it goes more, it's going to be more. If it's less, it's less. So kind of right off the bat, it's difficult to create compelling marketing for a purely hourly type thing. On top of that, it's also difficult to compare your hours to someone else's hours if you don't have any sort of rapport or reputation or connection with the client that you're working with. So for example, if someone were to hire you and you're really good at this and you've been building sites for ages, you can probably do the same amount of work in 1 hour that somebody else might be able to do all day. But can you charge eight times more? Like, because if someone says, well, what's your hourly rate? And then you say, my hourly rate's $150 an hour, that's going to blow people's hair back. You know, that's going to be a big issue. And they're going to be like, wow, that's a lot more than I was thinking it was going to be. You know, that's more than we pay hourly. And of course, that doesn't mean anything, because what if you can work, you know, way, way faster than that? And so, you know, when you say an hourly rate to a client, they're sort of comparing your hourly rate to other people's, and you're using that as like a market measuring tool or something, and it's off base. It's out of whack. It doesn't serve anyone. It's not even a good metric to use for anything. So clients hate it. That's basically the big point. And it doesn't serve you well either, because the better you are, the higher your hourly rate goes, which means the more unlikely your clients will be to hire you if they're comparing your rate against other people's rates and they're thinking, oh, well, shucks, you know, that's too expensive. So right off the bat, hourly pricing is not going to be the best when it comes to consulting like this. So like this high value, high ticket consulting. So then another thing is the incentives are out of line. Like, so if you really think about hourly pricing, it's like the person who's in your situation, like if you're, you know, the more hours you can charge for the higher the price of the project, of course, right? And so it's kind of your incentive to, you know, spend as many hours as you can. And it's, of course, your client's incentive to, you know, sort of get the price down so low. So you do whatever you can to kind of reduce the number of hours. So your kind of objectives and theirs are sort of out of whack. And then that, you know, with incentives out of line like that, kind of right off the bat, it's very difficult to move forward in a healthy relationship, because what you want is not what they want. And, you know, maybe you're not going to, like, you know, cut corners or, like, you know, do a bad job or whatever to try to, like, you know, get through as fast as you can and still make, you know, whatever. But at the same time, you're not really thinking through exactly, like, how you could do it faster necessarily, because your goal is to be able to have as many hours as you can. That way you can, you know, develop larger projects like that. And of course, that's just no good. So you make more money with more hours. They save more money with less hours. And so that right off, it's a very combative, like, head to head kind of thing right off the bat. And then scope creep becomes a big issue too. And one of the big issues with scope creep and hourly rates is, a lot of times what will happen is, because those incentives are out of line, then your client will say, you know, you'll hit a first milestone and you'll start showing people, you know, what you've got. And then that will kind of trigger some interest. Like, it's very common for a client to, like, at those milestone meetings, to come up with new ideas based on what they see, because, you know, maybe they don't have a full picture in their mind of exactly what they're looking for. And then you kind of, you know, bring some of this to life with your work. And then they're like, oh, you know, wouldn't it be great if, and then the next thing you know, you've got a whole other project coming out, and then you have to deal with that. So scope creep comes up. But then what will happen is, you know, the developer will say, yeah, that's a great idea, let's do all that. You know, you're thinking more hours, more time, more money, bigger project, better results, everything's great. And then they're not really realizing that, hey, you know, if I say all these things, it's going to add more time. So if they have some sort of, like, a fixed price for the project that they're going to be working on, and then you start adding all these other hours into the mix to do these new things that are coming up, well, then what will happen is, you kind of, you know, get to a point where you're not ready to launch the project yet, but the budget is exhausted. And so then you have to deal with that. So what do you do? It's like, you know, the developer will say, well, the reason we can't launch it right now, the reason we haven't, you know, gotten to the point where we're ready to launch, is because you said to do all these other things. And so I did all these other things because you told me to. And they're like, well, I didn't realize it was going to exhaust the budget. We'd never be able to launch a site. And so now you get, now it's again, it's a very combative sort of a thing. And then, a lot of times, you know, projects never even get launched at all, because either the client doesn't have the resources to really take the project to fruition because of the scope creep, or the developer gets too frustrated and quits, and then everything gets all, things can go awry quickly with that problem. And it's very common. And really the roots of it kind of go down into this whole hourly pricing concept. And then another thing too is, like, if you're just selling your hours, it's very difficult to be selling much more than just labor, because you're thinking, well, you know, it's going to take me a certain amount of time to implement these things. And you're just kind of selling the labor to do it. And you're not really bringing leadership. You don't really have the opportunity, or the structure isn't really in place in order to allow you to bring leadership and strategy and to differentiate yourself. Like, if all you're doing is the act of creating something, like if you're just implementing, like if you're just in the role of basically typing or creating artwork or something like that, what if you just, like, took yourself out of the equation and put somebody else in there? Like, would it be the exact same outcome? Like, would it be the same thing? Like, how do you differentiate yourself if you're just kind of selling that labor? So for all of those reasons, you want to shift away from hourly pricing. Like, hourly is not what you want to do. And so if there's so many problems with it, like, why does everybody do it like that? Like, why is everybody inclined towards an hourly rate and things like that in the industry that we're in, like, when, you know, building websites and branding and design and, you know, even marketing to some degree? It's like, why? It's because it's so easy. It's like, you just say, well, you know, here's my hourly rate. Tell me to do what you want and I'll just charge you for the hours. And there you go. You've got your situation right there. So, but of course, with that simplicity comes all of these problems. And if you're in a situation where you want to kind of get out of that, whether it's, you know, like basically if you're on Upwork, you're kind of in that, even if you're doing, like, fixed project pricing, which is what I'm going to talk about next, you still tend to be kind of in that hourly mindset. And so if you want to get into a situation where you're onboarding these high value, long-term clients, where you're actually driving results for them, and not just being an implementer, you got to get out of the hourly pricing. And so then you think, okay, well, let's move to fixed pricing. Like, so what does that look like? So then you think, well, in the context of like a project, a fixed price would be, you just tell someone how much it costs. Like you figure out what you need to do, and then you tell them a price. But there's a problem with that too. And the problem with fixed pricing is you think to yourself, well, I can't just tell my client that, you know, just trust me, I'll do, you know, the best I can to work as fast as I can, and you just pay me for the hours. And then they say, well, how many hours? And you say, I have no idea, because, you know, who knows what's going to happen. You know, the uncertainty that comes with that on the client side is, well, I have no idea how many hours this is really going to take. So there's no way to budget for it. Like, can you give me a ballpark? And a lot of times developers really push back and say, I really can't give you a ballpark because we haven't really scoped this thing out yet. We haven't really done any sort of research to figure out what the requirements even are. And so how am I supposed to tell you how many hours are in the project if I don't even know what the project is? So there's all of that in the mix. But what happens with fixed pricing is you then take on all of the risk for fixing the price. Like you say, it's going to be impossible to know the entirety of the scope of the project unless you do like a really in-depth research and analysis into what you need to do up front to really figure out what the goals and objectives are and all these other things. And that takes time. And so like a lot of times what people will get stuck into, like when you move into fixed pricing, is you begin to think, well, you know, I need to do some sort of like background research kind of discovery sort of phase here before I even know what to put in the proposal, before I even know what to bid. And then of course, a lot of times that takes some time, like that days, weeks, I mean, depending on how large the project is, a lot of time can go into that research phase. And then what will happen is you'll think, well, man, I should be charging for this. You know, you should be charging just to do the research. And it's true. Like if you're literally going to be doing enough work to figure out exactly what somebody needs and how long it's going to take and what needs to be done and, you know, to lay it all out there, then you should absolutely be, there's value in just that. Even if you didn't do it, even if you took that project plan and gave it to the client and then they hired someone cheaper to implement it, perhaps, you know, something like that, you know, just that plan would be huge because you're bringing your expertise and your knowledge, your experience, the history that you have, you know, putting stuff together and introducing ideas. You know, you're bringing some leadership into the equation at that point by saying, hey, you know, here's some things that you could be doing that maybe your client hadn't thought of before. And you're adding that into your discovery phase. But the problem with fixed pricing is, first of all, in order to do that, you have to sell the discovery phase, which has no real deliverable. Like your client is investing money into something that they don't get anything out of tangible. Like all they get is a plan. And who knows how big the plan is going to be? What if you come back and say, man, it's going to be $50,000 or $100,000. And they were thinking, man, I only have a budget for like maybe five grand or something like that. And now they spent all this money in the project plan, like that discovery research phase, and they have no ability to actually do anything because the price is just too high. They can't even take it and give it to someone else because it's too much. It's like, and so it's very, very difficult to get clients to agree to that discovery phase. It's not impossible. People do it. I've done it before myself, but it's not ideal. It's not the best situation to really pursue a project like that. But what ends up happening then is with the fixed pricing is what you would then do is you then take on all the risk. It's like, I don't know what the full scope of the project is going to be, but I kind of have a rough idea based on what you said. And I built some projects in the past that are kind of like this and blah, blah, blah. I think it's probably going to probably take me 100 hours, something like that. And maybe you charge $85 an hour. So now you're going to charge $8,500 for the project. And then you think, well, that's what it would be if it was, you know, strictly right at my hourly rate. But, you know, let's kind of bake in a little bit of mix into the mix for some scope creep, some, you know, just something's going to shift. Maybe there's going to be some problems. You know, there's always some unforeseen issues that pop into the mix. So let's add an extra 15% on there. So whatever, let's charge 10 grand. That's what the price is, fixed price. And so now you've got this $10,000 project sitting there and, but then what will happen is the same stuff that happened in the hourly thing. It's like, you know, you kind of start hitting these milestones and clients start seeing things. They start getting ideas and saying, hey, let's add more to the mix. And so stuff kind of gets in there and then the scope creeps out a little bit. And the next thing you know, you're kind of like, you've kind of exceeded the budget, but you're not done. You have to keep working anyway. And so that's not good. And so, and here's another thing. People tend to almost always undervalue their work. Like when you do a fixed project thing, and like a client's telling you, oh, it's easy. It's all here's all we need. It's just a simple thing. You know, like whoever thinks their project's complicated, you know, it's like clear in their heads. And so therefore it should be easy for you. And so then you think, oh yeah, it must be easy. So let's only charge whatever, you know, you only think it's a small thing. And then you get into it and you're like, oh man, you know, this API doesn't work the way I thought, or, you know, there's some weird problem. I have no idea what's going on. I've never seen this before, but I built a lot of sites, so I got to do some research or whatever. Or maybe one of the plugins you use or had thought that you were going to use has some kind of glitch in it that doesn't work the way that you thought. Anyway, the point is that there's twists and turns that come up unexpectedly. And because of that, it's really easy to underbid, like to think that you can do it in a certain number of hours when really it's going to take more. And so that's a big problem. And you are taking on all the risks. So the difference between fixed pricing and hourly pricing is with hourly pricing, the client takes on all that risk. Like you're saying, well, I guess it might take me a certain number of hours, but I can't commit to that. I don't know. There's going to be variables in the mix. And so let's just do time and materials. And that will ultimately be the cheapest way to kind of move forward, because I'm just going to charge you the time I'm working on. But your client takes on all the risk of not knowing exactly what it's going to cost to get out there. When you do fixed pricing, then you generally take on all the risk, and you tend to pad your hours based on how uncertain you are about the outcome, right? It's like, you know, maybe you think it's going to take you, you know, 100 hours or something like that, but then you pad it by 15% because you just don't know. So however, whatever that percentage part is like how much risk you feel like you're taking on. And so, you know, the bigger the project, the more variables, the more you have to pad things. And so it just kind of, you know, gets out of whack. It's like, it's not an ideal situation, but it's better than hourly, because at least you can say, hey, to your client, like, here's what you're getting. It's easy. The marketing behind it is significantly easier. The client feels somewhat assured in the fact that you've got a deliverable that you're going to hand to them based on a particular price, presumably within a particular time frame. And so the marketing behind it is dramatically easier, but you're still killing yourself. You're still unable to charge the rates that you really need to be charging to do your best work, because you're kind of stuck. You're still doing hourly at this point. You're still thinking like the equation in your mind is this number of hours. This is my hourly rate. Here's the project. And so you're still kind of stuck in that hourly framework, even if you're charging a fixed price for your work. And so it's better than just pure hourly, but it's not really where you want to be if you want to make that move into that high value consultant. Like the whole reason we put this group together is to raise up an entire community of high value consultants. And it's not just high value for you, it's high value for the clients as well. It's like we're looking to onboard clients who really need a result for their business, and they're willing to invest if the result is forthcoming. And that's what we really want to be doing. And that's what value-based pricing is all about. So value-based pricing is kind of a variant on fixed pricing. So there is a fixed price component to it. So it's subheading, you know, something kind of underneath of the concept of fixed pricing. But it's value-based, meaning that it's not based on how many hours you think it's going to take, and then you pad it by some amount, and then you deliver it. The value is like, what's it worth to your client to actually do this? And so And that's a critical point. A lot of times the confusion when it comes to value-based pricing is what am I worth? And then I charge that. And that's the wrong approach to it. It's not, a lot of times what people are thinking is like, well, I've got a degree in this, or I've been doing this for, you know, a million years, and I'm really good at it, and I can do it really fast. And, you know, it's worth it to them to get my expertise because I am valuable. And when you approach it from that perspective, you lose the whole deal right off the bat, because the clients don't care what you're worth. They want to know how you can help them. And so the value is on what is the value to them based on what you deliver, even if you hire someone else to do the work, right? It has really nothing to do with your credentials and that sort of a thing in terms of the value. Now, obviously, your credentials enable you to produce results that are better than everyone else, and therefore there's value to that. But the value is based on the results, not your credentials. So it's not like a pride building, ego swelling sort of, you know, thing when it comes to, you know, I'm not charging what I'm worth, right? Because in your client's eyes, you're only worth what you can create for them. And what that means is you're going to be worth different amounts. And this is really critical. You're worth different amounts to different clients. That's a really big component to value-based pricing. Because if a client comes up to you and asks you to just do a sliver of what you can actually do, like just a small component of what you're capable of doing, then the value that you deliver to them in that context is obviously just a sliver. Just it's a smaller chunk of your overall value if a client came and said, man, I need you to do all the things that you're awesome at doing, the things that you're the best at doing, that's what I need. And so that's one of the, so that this is one of the things that enables you to differentiate yourself from all of these other low budget developers that are out there. Because what a lot of times will happen is if you've got a marketing situation where you're depending on referrals all the time, or you're depending on someone just kind of organically finding your site or just calling you, or you're just kind of reacting to clients coming your way, then you don't know who the clients are. You don't know when they're going to come. You've got the feast or famine problem, and you don't know what they're going to ask you for. And so when they say, I want you to manage my ClickFunnels campaign or something like that, that maybe you could do it, but it's not your forte. It's not like what you're the best at. It's just a tiny thing of what you could otherwise be doing. And then you also try to apply value-based pricing to it, then it's like your value in that context is not necessarily much different from anyone else's. And it's kind of like a low value-based pricing. And so that's an issue. So your value is different to different clients depending on what they're asking you for. And that's a really important thing to keep in mind. Your value is not based on you. Your value is based on the outcome to the client in the context of this value-based pricing model. So that's kind of the idea about figuring out, well, what it's worth. And then you begin to think, what's the point of the client even doing the project, right? Like, why are they even asking you to do this? And you begin to uncover some more like the business objectives behind what they're asking you to do. So you don't just say, oh yeah, here, I'll give you a 5-page website. It's going to have this brand new logo. Let me show you how to blog a little bit. And then shazam, you're off to the next client. You know, like, That's not what you want. What you want to do is you want to ask clients, like, what's the point? Like, figure out the business objectives that they have. What are the pain points? You know, what are they struggling with? You know, are they having an issue where, you know, maybe it's kind of a technical thing, like they have a website, but their developer got hit by a bus or something, or they had some kind of big problem with their developer and they need to switch developers and they just kind of need you to fill the gaps? Or do they have more of a business-oriented problem where, you know, their marketing just isn't effective. They don't know what to do to get out there. They don't have any brand visibility. They don't know how to do email marketing. They don't know how to set up sales funnels for themselves. They don't even know what a sales funnel even is. They don't know what to do. Like, they've got, and this oftentimes happens, by the way, when you're working with like highly skilled people in other areas, meaning like, you know, like health professionals, dietitians, different types of life coaches, pretty much anybody who's really good at doing their thing often have not put any thought into like online marketing or business development or anything, because they've been so focused on their thing. Like, how do you get somebody's nutrition back on track? And how do you get people to lose weight? Or how do you get, you know, how do you restore a marriage? How do you get relationships? What do you do about social anxiety? Like, all of these people that have the ability to fix those types of issues haven't really thought very much at all, and don't really even care to think that much at all about the business marketing side, because that's not their forte. That's not what they're interested in. They're interested in, you know, the health or the wellness or the well-being or whatever. This even applies to like real estate agents sometimes, and landscape people, and, you know, lawn care folks. And like, they just focus on, how can I grow grass better in somebody's yard, even if their soil is rotten or whatever? You're like, what, dried up like Mars? You're like, how do you fix that? And then they don't really put a lot of thought, or haven't yet, into the marketing side of things. So when you can come and solve some of those issues, like, what's the business objective that you're trying to address here, then that will open the door so that you can see what's back there with regard to what's the value here. Like, and again, it's like, when you open that door, what you're looking for is, you know, am I filling the gap of just needing to implement some stuff? Like, did they used to have somebody on staff and now they didn't? Or did they, or maybe they still have the people on staff, but they're trying to escalate a little further and they're trying to get a little more manpower in the mix? Or is it more of like a strategy problem? Is it more of like a business development issue? Like, what's going on there? So that's going to help you uncover what the value really is. And then you want to think, well, what value do you bring to the table versus what somebody else would bring? Like, one way to kind of measure that is, just assume that you just removed yourself out of the equation and, you know, just put somebody else back in that wasn't you, but, you know, still knew how to do WordPress stuff. Is there any difference? You know, what's the difference between working with you versus somebody else? Like, what's the value proposition for you? And again, this goes back to, you know, you're not the same value to all the different clients. Like, a lot of that has to do with the clients that you're pursuing and what they need. And can you do that? And different clients need different types of things. And that's one of the things you want to really uncover, like if you're shifting into this value-based pricing. So we've laid it out so far where there's kind of this escalation. And so if you join later, I haven't figured it out so far. The idea here is a lot of times when people get started with WordPress development or web design or online marketing or anything that's kind of in that area, a lot of times it starts out as an hourly rate kind of a thing. Just, you know, what's your hourly rate? Oh, it's, you know, $50 an hour. Okay, great. Let me hire you for a couple hours. And that's what you want to shift away from that. And here's a side note. If you find yourself trying to get clients onto like retainers, like monthly retainers, and you're selling prepaid hours as part of that retainer, then you're going to have a problem. You know, clients don't say yes to that. And you're kind of in this lowest level of hourly pricing that you got to get out of that. It's just this ice bath. I mean, you can't do anything in that hourly pricing arena. It's like you just get numbed out and you can't move and you just freeze up, and and what will happen is your skills will get better, but you can't raise your pricing, because if you change your hourly rate, people are like, oh, well, that hourly rate's too high. And even if you get faster, you still can't do it. And so you're basically just running yourself, you know, off the cliff. It's like you've got to shift out of that at some point. And really, I don't even think it's beneficial even to get started at an hourly rate kind of a thing. So then fixed pricing is a little bit better than that for the reasons we just discussed. You know, there still has problems. Like, so it's easier to onboard clients with a fixed price because you can tell them what the price is and what they're getting for that price. And then that's a much easier marketing situation with that. But then you're taking on all the risk, and you're also kind of under budgeting. Like, you're basically saying, you know, however much time it's going to take you to do it, pad that by a little bit, and then that's the price. But like, again, like kind of like with the problem with hourly pricing, it's like, what happens when you get really good at all of that? What happens when it doesn't take you as many hours and all of those other things? And then your increased expertise is a reduction in your actual income, because, you know, it's money for time. And so you want to shift away from that. And of course, the key to shifting away from that is to shift into value-based pricing. And of course, the point of that is it's not your value. It's not the value that you think that you have because of your time in the business or because of your, you know, credentials or anything like that. The value is in the result that you deliver to a client. And of course, what that means is since different clients need different types of results, different clients are going to view you as being more valuable than other clients. And you have to pack that into the equation when you're figuring out how to price your work, because value-based pricing is ultimately where you want to be. And when you land into that category, then you can be making thousands of dollars per hour. It's like, it doesn't make any difference. And in fact, you will notice that your hourly rate, like if you were to just kind of look at it, like you get a project price and you figure out what your time was and you just kind of do the math for the heck of it, you'll find that your hourly rate is way through the roof. It's so much higher than it otherwise would be, but you're not really thinking about pricing your project based on those hourly rates. And instead, what you do is you figure out, well, what is the outcome that I can deliver to someone? And what's the point of even doing that? And, you know, what if they did nothing, right? Like, what if they came to you and they said, here's what I want, and you said, why? You know, what if we didn't do it? What would happen then? You know, like, is there any impact in your business if you didn't do it? And then, of course, you also want to, you say, well, what if you didn't do it with me? Like, what if you did it with the cheaper guy down the street? What's the difference there? So that's where the value comes through. And ultimately, the bottom line with value-based pricing is it has to do with the value that you generate on behalf of your client. That's the idea. And what you want then is you want clients asking you for your best stuff, right? So you don't want them to ask you just for a sliver of your stuff. And you don't want them to ask you for things that you can do, but you're not really that good at it and you don't really like it. You want clients to ask you for your best stuff, where you can drive the most value. And when you drive the most value, you can charge the highest rates because you're doing value-based pricing. And that means it's a win for everybody. It means that the client is paying less than they think it's really worth based on the value of what they're getting. And you're charging at least enough to think that it's worth your time to do it. So everybody's winning. Like your client's buying it because they think they're getting more value out of it than they're putting in. And you're winning because you think you're getting more value out of it than you put in. So everybody wins. It's a win-win on both sides. And that's the essence of value-based pricing. And that's where you want to be. That's the sweet spot for being a high-value consultant. And that's, of course, the whole point of this group. So then it comes down to, okay, well, how do you do it? Like I understand the concept, but what do you do? And so, again, so the underlying principle here is you want to be attracting clients who are going to be asking you for your best stuff. So that's where I can come in and help with that, because that's kind of a complicated thing to think through. And so what we end up doing is we end up laying all of the things that you know how to do kind of out of, on the table. And you can kind of do this on your own. You don't necessarily even need to talk to me about this. Just kind of put everything out there on the table and be like, well, you know, what combination of all of those things that you know how to do can you kind of put together to bring value to somebody? Like, what does that look like? And so, and that's what Double Stack is all about. So like, the whole point of Double Stack, the reason it's called Double Stack is because there's two things that you do. There's two stacks. There's the technical stack in the sense of like, I'm actually technically going to do something. But then there's the business development stack. And that's really about the value. And so the cool thing about being in a position where like you're a double stacker in that sense is that you're doing two things at the same time, which brings even more value to your client than they would get anywhere else. And so this is one of the things that dramatically sets you apart from everyone else, because they're getting the value of like working with like a full-blown agency out of just working with you. And when I say full-blown agency, I mean like the huge, lots of people, lots of overhead kind of agencies when it's just you, or maybe just you and a couple other people. And so what that means is you're doing business consulting. That's ultimately the first thing that you do is you uncover the value that they're looking for. Like that's kind of the essence of the value-based pricing is you do business consulting and bring some strategy and some leadership and your knowledge and all of those things. You bring that to the table and you have the technical skills to implement the things that you've talked about. So you're setting up these business goals and objectives and you have the technical skills to pave the road so your client can get to those goals as fast as possible. That's the idea behind Double Stack. That's the whole point. And so what I'm inviting you to do now is let's figure out how we can put all this stuff together. Like, what does this look like? Like, how can we take all of your skills, the knowledge that you have, you know, what you like, which is another thing too, by the way. It's like, you're going to be more valuable to someone if you like what they're doing and if you like what you're doing with them. Right? Because imagine the difference between, you know, you've got this project where you couldn't care less about whatever it is that they're selling, you know, versus a situation where you're like, man, I really feel like I'm contributing to the earth, to society, to you know, all of these people. But, you know, like, for example, like, say you're working with somebody who could, like, save somebody's marriage or somebody who can, you know, help somebody with terrible health issues, like digestive disorders and things like that, where, you know, people feel like they're getting their lives back and you're reaching out and attracting the people that your client can really serve and help. Imagine how that you can just do so much better. I mean, you've got so much more energy and you're motivated and it feels great. And it's like you can drive more value when that's what you're doing compared to I don't even know what that, like, have you ever been in a situation where you work with the client and you're waiting for the copy for the site? And then they give you the copy and then you just copy and paste from like Word docs into WordPress and that's it. And you don't even read what they said. It's like, how fun. I mean, how long can you do that? I mean, that isn't that, it's so boring. It's like, why are you even, what are you doing? What are you doing? If that's what you're doing, why not do better than that? You know, why not do more? Why not get into a situation where you look through the copy and make some recommendations, at least for the sake of SEO? Like, can you dial it in for some keywords that might be effective for them, at least at that level, even if you're not working on the messaging itself? I mean, just something, right? And that's where it becomes fun and exciting, because then you begin to see the results of what you did. And then you begin to see, you know, customers coming into your client's business. And then you begin to see the results that they're having. You know, like, that's, and it's because of you. It's because you were there when your client needed you. And you were then able to drive the kinds of results that they were really looking for so that they could reach the clients that they're really trying to serve. And because of that, everyone wins. in the mix. And a key to that is of course the pricing, the value-based pricing, but it's much bigger than that. The bigger component is, what is it that you can do that is going to enable you to get in front of those clients that you can serve the best? And that's what DoubleStack is all about. So if this is the kind of thing that's resonating with you, where you're kind of sick of just cranking out cheap websites and just, you know, spewing out, you know, more noise onto the internet, and you want to make a difference with your skills and your time and a difference for your clients, then you're going to have to charge enough to be able to do your best work. Because if you don't charge enough to do your best work, you're going to have to cut corners in order to stay in business. And if you're cutting corners and doing less than your best, how can you possibly be driving the results that your clients are really depending on you for? So so they're losing too. Everyone is losing in the old way. Everyone wins in this new way. And so let's figure out how to do this. Let's figure out how can we combine your skills into a way that's going to enable you to generate a real, like, measurable result that's in line with your clients' objectives, like with what they're really counting on you for. That's the whole point. So if you want to talk about this stuff, head over to doublestack.net/call and let's get on the phone, you know, one-on-one and kind of dive into this. Because this is the part that, you know, I really love this group. I'd love to be able to come on and you know, talk to you guys and meet you all and do all of this stuff together. This is a lot of fun. But the frustrating part for me is, it's very difficult to dive into the specifics of exactly what one person should do, because your value is, like we just said, like your value is different depending on what you know how to do, what your skills are, what your experience is, you know, what kind of past history you have, what do you like, what do you not like? Like, all of those things are individualized, which is, of course, why I don't just leave it here with, you know, this generic conversation of 1,500 people or whatever. But I invite you, like, if this is resonating with you and you want to talk more about it, let's talk on it. And this is also free. It's all free. Like, what we're doing right now is free. And the phone call is free, too. So we get on the phone and we lay out a couple of things. So we'll figure out exactly how we can combine the stuff you're the best at. Like, what is it that you're the most interested in, the most skilled in, that you're the best at, so that if a client asked you for that, you would be able to provide the most value of all the things that you could do. So that's the first thing that we'll figure out. We'll lay it out. And it's awesome, very, very, very insightful, perhaps, to kind of have an outside perspective on that. Because when it's just you and you're thinking through it by yourself and you're like, you kind of get stuck in the weeds and you begin to think more detail and technically oriented as opposed to, like, the higher picture. And so that's one of the first things that we talk about, is just, we just lay it all out and say, like, you know, what are the things, like, how can we combine your skill set? And then what we do is we make this step-by-step plan for putting you on offense with regard to your clients, meaning that you don't have to always be reactive. And like we were just talking about before, like, if you're not in control of the clients that are coming to you, then you have a variety of problems. The first and biggest problem is you're out of control of your business overall, because your clients bring the revenue and the revenue keeps you in business. And so what that means is, if you're not in control of that, like, if you're always reacting and just wishing somebody would send you a referral, or just hoping somebody finds your site somehow and calls you, then you're not going to have a situation where you can have a sustainable, scalable growth projection for your business, because it's just, you don't know. You're not growing it. You're not doing anything. It's like, it's all reactive. And then on top of that, not only is it reactive, but you don't really even know what the quality of the leads are going to be, or you don't know what they're going to ask you for. What if they ask you for something that's not your most valuable stuff? Like, what if they ask you for something you can do, you don't really want to, you don't really like it, you feel like someone else would probably be better, but you take it on anyway, and then you can't even do value-based pricing because it's, you don't really feel like that's where your value is. So what we do is, the second thing we'll do when we get on the phone is, after we lay out everything, we then put a step-by-step plan in place for getting you on offense with regard to your lead generation. And we talk about that. And then not only will we talk about how do you generate the leads, but how do you actually talk to them once you get them? Because you don't want to be in a situation where you're doing this value-based pricing and trying to bring leadership and all of this other stuff, while at the same time asking, well, tell me what you need, what do you do, what's all this other stuff, you know, how many pages do you need, what's your budget? You know, you don't want to be asking questions like that, because that reveals that you don't really know what they need. And if you're revealing that you don't know what they need, how are you supposed to show up with leadership in a situation like that? And how are they supposed to have confidence that whatever you say is actually going to be in their best interest if it's just off the top of your head, you know, that sort of a situation? So We'll talk about exactly how to put like the step-by-step plan in place to attract the ideal clients who are going to be your highest value clients. And then not only that, but how to actually meet with them. And we'll talk through all of that, because there's especially with regard to the meeting of, with your clients aspect, you're going to be shifting. Everyone's mindset is shifting. Your mindset shifting, their mindset is shifting. It's not this traditional thing where you say, tell me what you need, I'll do those things for a certain price. And that's a big deal. And so that's one of the big things that we tend to talk about. So if you want to get on the phone and talk about these things specifically with you, then head over to doublestack.net/call and book a time. You'll see my personal calendar pop up. We'll get on the phone. It'll be like 45-minute phone conversation, and we'll dive into exactly what does your highest value client look like? How do you actually put your marketing materials together to get in front of those people? And then once you do get in front of them, like, how do you meet with them? Like, how do you do that? Like, how do you shift your mindset in a way? How do you shift your client's mindset out of, you know, tell me your hourly rate and I'll tell you if I'll work with you or not, that kind of a thing. And then once you have that in place, you've really got something to work with now. So like, imagine what it would be like if all of your clients wanted all of your best stuff, and every day you woke up doing the stuff you love to do the most and that you were the most skilled at and that differentiated you from everybody else. And that was making a huge impact for the people that you're working with, as opposed to just doing these little tiny fixes all over the place, or just doing stuff that doesn't even matter, or just kind of like spinning up these cheap sites or whatever. Like, imagine what it would be like if you shifted into something that made a huge impact. And what would it be like to know that like, that each client that you had was hiring you because you were bringing leadership. And it wasn't just that they were hiring like somebody to type things, but they wanted your insight into strategy, and that you could think creatively about how to use your best skills to really help people. And imagine what it feels like when you actually see the results of that. And you know, you have this ongoing relationship with your client where you continually produce those types of results for their business, and you're seeing the impact that you're having. And I can't underscore enough the degree to which that is so satisfying, you know, right down to your shoes. It's just the best thing that I can offer to somebody, is to be able to get yourself in a situation where you feel like what you're doing matters, and not just matters for you, but matters for the people that you're helping, and those families and those people. It's just such a domino effect of wins right on down the line. And best of all, you can literally charge 5 to 10 times more than what you're charging right now if you make this type of shift. And it's if you are interested in being a high value consultant rather than like a low budget kind of freelancer implementer, this is the path to do that. And imagine what it would be like, because you're charging 5 to 10 times more. You're working probably no more hours, maybe even fewer hours than you're currently working. Because again, like, remember we were talking about, like, if you're doing that fixed pricing thing, what about all that free time that you have to invest into scoping out the project before you even know if you have the project? That's just free time, you know, that you may or may not get paid for. Like, if they say yes and you win the project, then great. But what if they say no? Then you've spent all that time and it's just wasted time. Or what about all that marketing time trying to figure out, you know, how do you attract people that, you know, through organic means or whatever, so that maybe somebody will call you or whatever? How about go out and actually, you know, you create the leads, like you get on offense with that. And so that's so much more time effective. And on top of that, you don't need that many clients. Like, if you had somewhere between 5 to 10 clients in your overall portfolio, and you structured your business the way that we've talked about with this value-based pricing, and you didn't just quit when you launched the site, but you had these ongoing retainers, you'd have a six-figure business. And most of the time, when I talk to people, they think that they need to get somewhere between 5 to 10 clients per month. I'm saying, hey, 5 to 10 clients total, and you can have a six-figure business, or add an extra, you know, $10,000 per month to your income, even if you've already got a business going. So imagine what that would be like. What would that be like if you had, you know, fewer hours going on, you were charging 5 to 10 times more what you were doing, you were driving results for those clients, and you were setting yourself apart from the sea of people that are stuck kind of in either this hourly rate situation or this fixed pricing situation. So head over to doublestack.net/call and let's get on the phone and get this going specifically for you in your business. So right after you see that that calendar, pick a time, and then you're going to see a second page. And on that second page, that's where I have a little form where I collect a little extra information about, like, maybe a link to your website would be really helpful. Just a little bit of background information so that I can prepare, so that when we get on the phone, that we can just pack it with all of that value right off the bat. And And that's the whole thing. And again, it's totally free. So if this is the kind of thing that you've been listening to and you're like, man, I really got to do something about my pricing, but you know, I don't even know what my community can hold. Like, you know, what's going on? This is new to you. The whole concept of value-based pricing is a new concept. And you're wondering, you know, most of the clients that I talk to, they always say they can't afford it anyway. So how am I supposed to charge 5 or 10 times more when they're already saying my cheap prices are too high? Well, the problem with that is it's a mindset issue. It's a marketing issue. It's, you know, there's a lot that kind of that we need to unpack. And that's the point of the phone call, to really figure out what can the market sustain? What are your skill sets? You know, what can that sustain? You know, how do we line all that stuff up so that you can really drive great results for folks? So, and again, that's kind of the frustrating part about the larger group setting. It's like, I can't really do that to everybody all at once because it's such an individualized thing, which is, of course, why I also offer these individualized one-on-one free calls to follow up with these free workshops. So if all that sounds good, doublestack.net/call is the place to go to get on my calendar for one of these conversations. And awesome, guys. So hope everybody had a fun Labor Day weekend and everybody is back on the action now. Here we are, September, and got a lot ahead of us. We got the holiday seasons coming up. That means we're going to have the feast or famine issue tends to exacerbate itself around that time. Not a whole lot of people build new websites during the holiday seasons. A lot of people are going to start building websites right around the first of the year. Now's the time to be preparing for all of that so you can really get things in line so that so you've got a nice, steady, even workflow throughout all of that. And again, value-based pricing is a huge part of it, but so is monthly retainers. Like to make sure that you don't have to constantly be finding new projects all the time. That's the thing that really stabilizes all that stuff. Anyway, if that sounds good to you, doublestack.net/call is the place to go. We'll be on the phone and that'll be awesome. If not, then that's cool too. We'll be back here next Tuesday. Actually, wait, I'm going to be traveling next Tuesday. So it's going to be 2 weeks before our next live session. But nevertheless, Tuesdays at 2, that's when we get together for our live workshops. And see you then. Take care, guys.